Welcome to the Strength Talking Shop podcast. I'm your host, Matt Smith. We talk all things strength, coaching, fitness, nutrition, powerlifting, strongman. If it involves a barbell, we're going to talk about it. We are presented by Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and Gold Standard's best-selling 100% whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold Standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different items such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as their crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. If this is something that you're interested in getting into your facility, reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Down in the show notes, he's got his email. Dave and the team at Optimum Nutrition Athletics are absolutely amazing. They'll get everything that you need. I use their products every single day. I use the Gold Standard 100% whey for my post-workouts, if I need something quick for protein on the go throughout the day. And also, if I need to grab a snack, I'll just grab one of the almonds, some of the cake bites, and then also the crisps. Absolutely love the crisps and the almonds. So make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, and thank you for being our sponsor. What's up, Strength Talking Shop podcast? I am very excited to have Nolan Vandenberg. He is a 7 through 12 English teacher. He's the weight room coordinator. He's a varsity football coach. He's a varsity track coach for Boone Central High School in Nebraska. What's up, Nolan?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Very excited to have you on here. Nolan is a new dad, so I'm very thankful for you to take the time out to do this, man. Are you getting a lot of sleep?
Well, last night was pretty good, and I'm sure my wife is sick of the joke that, you know, I've been sleeping fine. But she's been a trooper. She's letting me do a lot of things back in my normal schedule since we've been home, so it's pretty great.
Well, congratulations again, man. I'm glad everybody's healthy, strong, and it's going to be great moving forward, man. But as we, you know, dive into the episode and everything like that, you know, everybody's got a cool story, man. I think yours is pretty interesting. We kind of talked beforehand and you sent me some stuff, but, you know, how did you get started in this madness?
Well, in high school, I had a really dedicated strength conditioning coach. His name's Doug Hookie, rest in peace. But he was so passionate about the field that I kind of took it for granted. And then when I went to UNO, I wanted to get into athletic training. And my idea was just to be involved in high school athletics and kind of moved away from athletic training and went into physical education because I had that great role model when I was in high school. And so, pursuit became physical education and coaching, and I was about a year out from graduating, and a bunch of people in the PE program said, hey, it's really hard to find a job, so I needed another endorsement. And I had a hard time thinking I could be any good in math or science, and so I was pretty good in English in high school, so I went the English route. And when came time to apply for jobs, I applied to about 20 PE jobs and one English job, and I've been an English teacher ever since. So I was at Newman Grove. That was where I was hired first, and Newman Grove is just a little small town. I had no idea where it was. And yeah. I'm from, you know, David City. I was from a town of 2,500 people, and Newman Grove was significantly smaller. And I taught there for 2 years, and when I got there, I was kind of just thrown into coaching. I never really anticipated I'd be a coach right away. I thought it was kind of a wait list kind of thing. And I had the interview, and they said in the interview, by the way, you're going to be coaching football at Boone Central. And eyes got big. Boone Central's got a pretty good reputation of kicking some tail. And so I got to work with some really phenomenal kids and some really phenomenal coaches. And my first year coaching there, I just really spent a lot of time in the weight room after school because I didn't have anything else to do. So I drove, you know, 15 minutes from Newman Grove to Albion, and I'd sit in the weight room with, there were just a handful of kids at that time in the off season when football season was done, and I just loved it. And I didn't really have much knowledge at all. I swear it was go to bodybuilding.com and print off workouts and see what worked and see what didn't work. And
yeah.
And then when I moved over to Boone Central, still teaching English, we had a new head coach at the time, and he and I worked together for a couple of years and writing programs and doing things that he had done. He'd been a head football coach for about 15 years or so at that time. So he had some good experience, and he was from a small school that he had to do it all. And so he did all the weight room stuff. And when he got here, he wanted to kind of delegate some of those things. And so he and I really worked close together, and he really encouraged me to learn stuff in the weight room and strength and conditioning. And I think it was about 2 years after working together, my interest exceeded his, and he said, okay, it's yours. Go run with it. Do your thing. And that's really what got me started in strength and conditioning. And so after 2 years of that, that would have been my second year at Boone Central, and I've been here for six. And since then, I've just been trying to get myself in a few classes. And finally, last year with the pandemic, I was able to get myself in a couple of strength conditioning classes, and it's just been going from there.
Dude, that's so awesome to kind of hear just like that's why I love opening up with that, like getting the story and everything like that. Like somebody was a role model to you, and it kind of was planting that seed and everything like that. How important is it for you to kind of be a role model for the athletes and the students that you kind of work with as far as being, you know, being that strength and conditioning coach in the summertime and in the off season and everything like that? Like how beneficial is that for you?
When I went into teaching, it was coaching focused. And now that I've been in it, I'm learning that it's these kids really motivate me to be better. And I hope I can motivate them to be better as well. And what I love about teaching is I swear these kids keep me young. But yeah, it's always, for me, it's always trying to do what's best for the kids, and it's finding a lot of feedback and being able to, I guess, in a sense, act like a kid with them and kind of make jokes with them and have some fun and focus on fun rather than, you know, just this is the way it is and this is what we have to do. It's really neat to hear that we've got a couple of kids interested in, you know, in athletic training and becoming teachers and getting into coaching and things like that. And just to know that there had to be an impact somewhere along the way, maybe not from me, but maybe from one of the guys that I work with or one of the girls I work with, that those kids had to be impacted in some way to want to pursue a similar field.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, you talked about it a little bit, like it started off with just, like you said, a handful of people, and now it's turned into what, the entire school?
Yes. So when I started at Boone Central, we were really good in athletics, and it was a talent over hard work kind of thing.
Right.
Like our football team was just incredible because we had just insane talent. Now at the time, the program in the weight room, the head coach when I first started was about to retire. So he was kind of just like hands off, let the kids take over and do their thing. And a lot of accountability was on the kids. And so we had some insanely athletic kids here. And then once he got out, a new head coach came in, you know, talent kind of dips a little bit like it does in a public school. And so we kind of took that as an opportunity to not necessarily change the culture, but like refocus it into weight room needs to be important. And once we established that, we had a couple of strength and conditioning classes that at the time they were called wellness. So it was kind of a confusing name for strength and conditioning, it wasn't just lifting weights. It was doing some fitness for living, as I call it. So there was, you know, some cardiovascular training and things like that. It wasn't really my cup of tea because I wanted to get kids in there and get them strong and get them fast.
Right.
And so being an English teacher, I really didn't have a lot of pull in that regard. So working with the head coach that came in, we really tried to refocus and make strength conditioning really important to kids. And that turned into, all right, if you're not in strength conditioning class, you're coming in the morning before school. And that was my opportunity to be around kids. And then in the winter, it was after school with kids and in the morning with in-season kids. And that kind of just happened for about 2 years or so. And then, you know, a lot of these kids in a small town, they're involved in a whole bunch of extracurriculars. And so, you know, you have your FFA supervisors getting upset because kids are missing meetings in the morning. Your cheer and dance coaches are getting upset because their girls are missing practices in the morning to come in and lift. And so that was kind of a nice segue to get more kids in the weight room. and get me an opportunity to get some classes. So to get me in some classes, we had to raise the interest. Yep. And it was me going around and begging kids, hey, you want to get in a strength class? You want me to be in the strength class? We need high interest.
Yeah.
So it was a help me help you kind of situation. So, and it turned into, I think, what do we have? We have 51 kids on the football team right now. And we're in a school of about 200 in the high school. So that's, you know, about half of our boy population, I would say. And so we've got 51 kids, and 50 of them are in strength conditioning class.
I love that. That is so awesome.
Yeah. And so I've got two class periods, and there's a third one. The interest is just so high. We've got over 80 kids in strength conditioning.
And it's all from just building a culture of just like over time. It's not something that came overnight. It's just slow kind of burn and everything like that.
Yeah. And it's not just boys. The girls are really, they're coming around to it as well. And I think it might be, maybe it's the boys following that. They're just like, man, these boys are doing some awesome things. I want to be involved in something awesome like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually a good point, is it's for both sides. It's like, you see, it's funny, like in high school, you see one of your friends, you see a difference kind of change, and then, oh, what are they doing? Oh, maybe I need, and then they slowly over time figure it out, and then boom, they're in there for 2, 3, 4 years. So you talked about, you know, you kind of didn't really have a great build into it, right? You're getting stuff up, bodybuilding and everything like that.
Yeah.
How, I love that you talked about being able to experiment though. Like you experimented and learned, like you continued to learn and everything like that. Talk to me about like from those early days to now, like what have you learned? What have you found to be successful and everything like that?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, that when that new head coach came in, he really encouraged me to go and learn and do things like that. And one of the first things I got from a clinic, I listened to Kevin Vanderbush, and his thing is he keeps it really simple. And I'm pretty sure he was covering like linear progressions in the talk that I had heard. And so I knew linear progression because that's what I did in high school. Now I forgot about it, 'cause like I said, I kind of took that training for granted.
Right.
And so hearing that again, that kind of was an easy way for me to implement some of the background knowledge I did have. And so I started with some linear progression stuff, and I didn't really like the direction it was going, just because now being a conjugate guy, knowing that you kind of lose some of that general preparedness once you get to the end of that progression, that linear progression, it was going to more clinics. And at the beginning, it was when there wasn't a lot of interest, I was paying to go to clinics on my own. And as it started to build, the school saw a change, and they were like, yeah, we'll pay for you to go to these different things and keep learning and keep expanding what we're doing. And so it turned into me going to clinics and meeting other coaches and visiting with other coaches. Like two of the coaches that I haven't done a great job keeping in touch with the pandemic and everything, but I went out to like North Bend and Coach Brokaw. I think he was the NHSSCA Coach of the Year, like national coach of the year. So he knows what he's doing over there at North Bend, and just being able to see how he does things and learn from him. And then at David City, where I'm from, a guy I went to school with there, he's back home coaching there, Travis Worm. He and I are both conjugate, and he and I throw a lot of ideas back and forth at each other. And it's nice to see someone in the same realm as me, you know, in the same age as me, and being able to bounce ideas off each other and see what works for each of us and what doesn't work. And I like to have him in and kind of show off some of the stuff that we have. And I like to go visit him, and he shows off some of the stuff he has. So those things are kind of fun. And then apart from visiting coaches, it was just reading. And I tell you, I haven't read as much as, you know, you see on Twitter and some of these guys, the books and things like that. It was three books. For me in the beginning, it was a Cal Dietz book on triphasic training. It was a Michael Yez's book on 1x20 method. And then Nate Harvey's Conjugate U. That really, I got sucked into Conjugate U and the conjugate training after that. So it's just been everything. I like Westside Barbell. And I know you had Monty Sparkman on here, and he was a big Westside guy in the conjugate method, and got a chance to talk to him and kind of just made it my own thing here.
Yeah.
And It's I think it's pretty unique what we've got going on here.
Well, talk to me. What do we got going on here, man? Because I love to hear what you're doing in your weight room. Because here's the thing, like, X, we all do X's and O's, right? We all do sets and reps. We all lift and everything like that. But it's like you said, you've nailed it on the head, like how you guys are doing on your own. So what are you guys doing exactly there at Boone Central?
Well, trying to stray away from that, or moving away from that linear progression, and trying to mold into like a conjugate training. At the time, I was writing the programs for the strength conditioning classes that I wasn't teaching. And it was lift 2 days a week and then do other things the other 3 days. And so it was trying to find a way to fit, you know, full body training into a couple of days a week. So it was initially it was like a tier system. So we'd do, you know, upper, lower, and a full body exercise every day on those 2 days. And trying to make that work was pretty tricky, and track everything while I'm in an English classroom, seven periods a day, not really involved in the weight room at all during the school day. So moving from tier training to conjugate, we don't have a lot of time. So it's hard to, you know, I think about 37 minutes and 30 seconds is what I have with kids. got it down pretty good routine. And so we superset everything, or I call it supersetting. It's, you know, it might be same muscles and different muscles and different body parts, upper, lower stuff. We max out every Monday and every Tuesday, and the kids love it. I think it's really unique in the fact that they do get to test their strength, and they get to see what is actually improving and what's not improving. And they're starting, and this senior class, I've had them all 4 years in conjugate, and they're starting to understand, okay, if I can't finish my lockout, I need to work my triceps more. You know, if I'm stuck on my chest, I need to do a little bit more volume on my chest and things like that. If I get stuck at the bottom of a squat, I need to, you know, hammer out different muscle groups. If I get stuck at the top of the squat, my posture isn't very good. So they're understanding some of those things, and it's just from their experience, which then they take a lot of accountability. And that's really what our focus is them taking accountability in their training and learning from themselves and from the people around them, not necessarily me. So when we got into the summer, this last summer, we had two different groups, because we had 75 boys coming in every morning, 4 days a week, and which was phenomenal, but we can't have 75 kids in the weight room all at once. So we had
right. two groups,
and it was kind of split with our experienced and our inexperienced kids. And so with the experienced kids, I'm just a fly on the wall. I'm just sitting there and I'm just watching, because they are really good at holding each other accountable and knowing the movements and performing the movements well. Yeah, I'm going to correct some things here and there, but for the most part, I'm just watching and I'm enjoying my time with them. And I remember we were about second week in July, and I'm like, man, I am a much better coach with this second group than I am this first group. Because that second group, I'm all around the room. I'm teaching freshmen technique, and it was a really fun summer, but it was I kind of appreciated the fact that at 6:30 in the morning, I'm not having to be 100%. I could kind of relax with that first group a little bit and then refocus and really hammer out that second group.
Well, my thought on that is that you're not necessarily going to be there with them on the football field, right? They've got to be able to handle each other on their own. But that's where you kind of see that. I love to see that culture shift where if somebody's not doing what they're supposed to, you nail on the head, like the accountability side, like they're going to take care of it. You don't have to jump on them. Now, sometimes you will and everything like that, obviously. But to me, that's where you start to see a real true team form together. And those bonds of the summertime like that, it's like, boom, it leads right into season.
Yeah, and you talk about accountability, and you see coaches have, you know, team builder and the rack performance and things like that. We don't have any of that. So I was making Google Sheets, Google documents of programs and printing things out for kids to fill in as they're lifting. And it got to the point that they're just writing numbers in. Are they actually doing it, or are they just writing numbers in to make me think they're doing it?
Right.
Away from sheets. We don't even have sheets in the weight room. The kids, they have the program right by the rack on a magnet that's attached to the mirror, and they see what they do, and they do it. And I'm walking around the room, and if something looks really easy, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Let's crank it up a little bit. You're better than that.
Right.
And then they kind of have that guilty head dip, like, yeah, you're right. And that's where the accountability comes from. And then they see me doing that, and then they start jumping other kids, and then it just turns into just a much better culture, because it's kid focused and they're doing it on their own, and it's not coming from a coach.
Right, exactly. You're not hammering down from them from the moment they come in, the moment they come out, and that would build a culture of like just dread. Like, I just dread coming into that, and then boom, you're not going to get that buy-in that we're looking for and everything.
Right. And most of the time when I am walking the weight room, we've got kids involved in county fairs and showing cattle and showing pigs. We got guys showing chickens and things like that. So that's really what I'm talking to them about when I'm walking around the room. What are you doing outside of the weight room? What are you doing outside of football? I want to know more about you guys. And, you know, having 35 guys in at a time, like we did this summer or something like that, it was really easy to talk to just about everyone. I would take attendance after they all left, and I just remembered who I talked to, and it was usually all of them. So that makes my job a lot easier when I don't have to stand at my computer and like look around the room and try and mark people off. If I know I talk to them, then I know they're there.
Well, then too, like, you get to know their name. Like, first off, like you said, like, have a conversation about what's going on outside of the weight room. That, because these kids care, like, they want you to care, like, and they know when you're being fake too as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And if I expect them to be interested in what I'm giving them, I need to show interest in things that they do too.
Yeah, and being genuine with it, man, I think that's absolutely key, because that's going to help control that weight room that you're talking about. Like, it's going to set things up for success, because you've taught them the standard of training. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think the standard of training is something that needs to be taught from the very get-go with the athletes and everything like that. And it sounds like that's what you guys have pretty much done.
Yeah. And it's really interesting going from, you know, seventh and eighth grade. We had, our middle school was 15 miles away. And so those were kids I never really got any experience with. And so in the summer, we try to have some small, I don't know, you could call them strength camps, where these kids would come in and we'd show them a few movements. And that was the Dan John progressions. It was your squat, push, pull, hinge, carry. And we would just do that for 7 weeks. And then I wouldn't see them again until they were freshmen. Right. And so this summer we had them in twice a week, and we let seventh and eighth grade in. And we really did a lot of teaching, because the middle school did move down to Albion now. And so we're able to start progressing those kids from seventh grade into eighth grade, and they're ready by the time they're freshmen, rather than teaching them our specific movements as freshmen. So they're getting much further ahead than we have been in the past, which is going to be so beneficial to our programs.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. It's a good feeder system kind of into the program to the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about you guys do the max effort work on Mondays and Tuesdays, I believe is what you said.
Yep.
So are you, how often would you change up that main exercise, per se? Would it be every week, or would it be every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that? Cause everybody kind of does a little bit different.
Yeah. Every week. And I don't have all the fancy bells and whistles. Like, we have one safety squat bar, we have one Buffalo bar, but then we've got a box that can be rotated to a 12, 14 and 16 inch on each rack. So our variations do change every week. And now it's not always with different bars, but it's different box heights. It's using bands, and we use bands for everything, even our auxiliary movements and things like that. It's just trying to, like we were talking about a little bit ago, was the experimenting, just trying a whole bunch of different band tensions and a whole bunch of different depths and heights on boxes and things like that.
I love that you talked about, like, not having to have a lot of people think conjugate, you got to have all the bells and whistles, you got to have all little bars, chains, bands, everything like that. You can literally do conjugate with a straight bar 100 different ways, just mm-hmm. by changing grips, maybe mm-hmm. the width, like you said, box heights and everything like that. I feel like people kind of maybe overcomplicate things in regards to that variation.
Yeah. And in the summer, you know, we have 10 weeks. And so when we come into the summer, the kids that are experienced, we're going to find that one rep max and you want to go parallel back squat, that's fine, but we're going to go on a 14 inch box, or we'll adjust it. So you're maybe an inch above, maybe 2 inches above parallel if you're a short guy, but I guess we're not totally sold on the parallel squat, just because that's really not a range that they're in very often. Yeah, we'll train in that range, but we're gonna do most of our movements on a 14 inch box because the priority is making these kids feel good, make them have big numbers, and it's not to show it off to, you know, to colleges or to schools around us. It's to make the kids feel confident and to feel good. So when we have a variety of movements and we evaluate, you know, 14 inch box in at the end of May and do it again at the end of June and do it again the first week of August, we can see that progression over every 4 weeks when we test that. And then we can see, okay, this kid, he's done basketball camps all June. He's done football camps all July. He's probably pretty run down. And so we can tell and we can make adjustments as we're going when we're doing these things, that maybe the weeks in between, we're not seeing that 14 inch box change because we're doing a deadlift variation in there. We're doing a 12 inch box. We're doing a banded 12 inch box. We're doing all sorts of different stuff where they don't remember if it's better than their last time that they did it. I keep records of all of that stuff, so they don't remember, but I do. And I have all the records of what they've done in the past. And I can see that they're progressing, even if from the last week of May to the first week of July or end of June, that their squat went down 10 pounds. The other three variations we did in between there, they went up. So I know that these kids are progressing in some fashion, but maybe it's not so easy to see on a week to week or a max to max basis, I guess.
My thought would be, is they're able to, the important side is they're feeling fresh going into game day, number one, but they feel great going into the season. But also, too, you're going to keep that going throughout the end season as well. That's what I love about conjugate as well for athletes.
Yeah, and that summer, and a couple of years ago in that spring, basically the whole nation was taken out of school.
Yeah.
And so we were fortunate in that we were able to have our kids come in that summer and do some training. It was a little bit different, but we had to focus on, you know, building strength, and where our strength just shot up in 10 weeks, kind of lost some of that in speed. But, you know, that, I mean, you see those things and you make adjustments, and then, you know, then we get into football season during the pandemic, and we get into basketball season during the pandemic or the winter season, and you see those kids still progressing in season.
Yep.
They become so much more encouraged, and they get so much more, they hold themselves so much more accountable when they're seeing their progress while they're competing. That's the fun part for me.
That's why I think conjugate is so awesome for the high school athlete. And it keeps them fresh. It keeps them ready to go during the season. Like you said, like, I'm actually getting stronger in season. Like, how many, you hear these kids, they talk about, like, you know, getting weaker and stuff like that. And I think that's huge, man. It's just a mental thing. Like you said, I didn't even think about that, but like the mental side of it, like they would have so much success with everything like that. What are you guys doing as far as like accessory wise? I mean, you don't have a lot of time, like you said, but.
Yeah. And so like we superset everything, and Titan Fitness, they have some nice glute ham developers and reverse hyper things that are, they're all together. So
I got one in my basement, man.
They're awesome, aren't they? And they're affordable. That's the best part.
Yeah. It was like $700 for it. It's really good. So
we've got four of them. We've got a great booster club that'll really help and purchase almost anything I want. It's just really nice. And so we've got, you know, reverse hypers and stuff that we do. We do abductions, adductions. We do those things to keep the hips healthy. We roll around on the cross balls. We're on foam rollers. We're doing sled sprints. We're doing triple broad jumps. We're trying to pair, you know, our heavy lifts with really fast movements.
Yeah.
I think that's really the focus of conjugate, is being able to move heavy weight as fast as you can.
Yeah, exactly. I agree, man. Get that coupling effect of everything, man. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, go ahead and get wind down here, man. Obviously very thankful to have you here on the podcast and everything like that. If people want to reach out to you, maybe they want to follow you on social media, how can they do that?
I'm on Twitter, and that's it. And my handle is card_strength. I really don't tweet a whole lot. I really retweet a lot on occasion. I like to show what our kids are doing. I've got a whole mess of pictures and videos in my phone, but I just I lose that and I don't post it, and it's a week later and I realize I messed up and I missed that one. But yeah, that's really the only platform I'm on is Twitter.
Well, I think you're somebody that a lot of coaches need to probably reach out to, especially those high school coaches, man. If you were to give some advice to high school strength and conditioning coaches, what would it be?
Earn trust, build relationships, and be honest and just expand your knowledge. Those are really the four things. I know if you're having injuries in the weight room, you're not going to be earning that trust. And if you're trying to tiptoe around kids not holding themselves accountable or each other accountable, you're not really being honest with them, and they'll see right through that. And in strength conditioning, it's so much bigger than lifting weights. So like we talked about earlier, is building those relationships and being genuine about the interests of the kids outside of school or outside of the weight room. That's really important. And then just doing the kids the credit they deserve. Like if you're just coaching them to better yourself and to move to the next school or to the better school, you're doing yourself and the kids a disservice because you're not really benefiting them, I think.
It's of the mindset of not what can you do for me, but what can I do for you kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Have that servant leadership. I absolutely love it, man. We'll get you out of here on the last question. You know, sure. What are you grateful for?
You know, I tell you what, if it weren't for these kids, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in, building this program up, and they really putting a lot of their faith in me and the parents doing the same thing. So I'm very much grateful for the kids and the athletes here at Boone Central. Really, my wife of 6 months, she's sacrificed her career for me to live this dream of teaching two strength conditioning classes while I'm an English teacher. And so it's been pretty awesome that she's accepted that and has really been there for me in that regard. And then gotta say it, I'm grateful for my son. Week old, he's happy, he's healthy, he's eating, sleeping, pooping, just
all right, man. That's awesome, man. Well, Coach Vandenberg, I'm so excited to have you on, man. Very thankful. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, he gave you his Twitter handle. Make sure you go follow him. And if you got any questions, reach out to him. And everybody, stay strong.